you very much. It is a blessing to be here. I'm glad to be Ms. Dotson's goober driver. They call them Uber drivers, but I'm her goober driver. And so I'm glad y'all asked her to preach. And so she wrote this message out this morning. And I like that song y'all sang a while ago. I'm on the winning side. Amen. After last year's Texas OU game. Come on, man, you smile. I knew I'd get off the wrong foot saying something like that. But anyway, it is a joy to be here. And Larson, we've known for a long, long time. And I won't tell about the time she showed up at our church. She got mad at him and came over to our church. And do something like that. And we know some of your people. We know Brandon for a long time, you know. And then I met one of your special members about a year ago. We were at a mission conference and met a young lady named Katie Jo. Yeah, I still hadn't. Really, she's sitting there just as sincere could be. She made this statement. She said, talking about her husband, one of the Smith guys, I guess, all these Smiths. She said, before we got married, I was older than he was. I said, okay. Is there a kicker here? Is there something else I'm missing? Like, do you mean now that you're married to him, you're not older than he is? I don't know. But I really didn't know Katie Jo that well, but we had them come, and then we took them on for support because I think we're a lot safer her over there than her over here. It's a whole lot safer on that. Take your Bible and turn to Exodus. I've got three categories of sermons. One's mean, one's meaner, and one's meanest. And so knowing Mrs. Larson like I do, I chose the meanest message I could find today. She said, well, I was a preacher's kid. I know. They're the worst kind, the preacher's kids. But you'd think after a while being a preacher's kid, she wouldn't marry a preacher. Were you a preacher when she married you? Miss Dotson, I was not a preacher when Miss Dotson married me. And, you know, she said, I didn't marry a preacher. I said, yeah, but you needed one. You needed one. So anyhow, and she still needs one after all these many, many 50 plus years. She said, what have you learned? I come back tonight. I have a message tonight. And I preached this not long ago, and an older preacher was sitting in the back. He wasn't a member of our church, but he likes to come on Sunday night because I think their churches have lost the fire. But he's 80-something years old, and I got through preaching the message. He said, preacher, come here. He said, in 70 years of ministry, I have never heard a message like that before. And I don't know whether it was good or bad or whatever. But I think about preaching tonight so y'all can be the judge of that. Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. This is set to get out of here about at least 2 o'clock today. So anyway, Exodus 3. And let's begin reading in verse number 7, if you would, this morning. Exodus 3 and verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large and into a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee into Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. This morning I want to preach a message on God can take away your excuses. God can take away your excuses. Father, we thank you for the day, your love and watch care, and we thank you for what our hearts already felt and the good spirit in the church. And we just pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you come down, you meet with us in a very special way, have your will and your way. And Father, for someone here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, today you draw them to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. And we'll give you all the honor and all the glory and all praise, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God can take away your excuses. You who know the Bible know that when God called Moses, Moses began to give God excuses. Here's five lame excuses here he gave in Exodus 3 and verse 11. He said, I have no ability. He said, who am I? Exodus 3, 13, I have no message. What shall I say? Exodus 4, 1, I have no authority. The Lord hath not appeared unto me. I have no, in verse number 10, chapter 4, I have no eloquence. And then in verses 13 of chapter 4, I have no inclination. So he was giving all these excuses. Let me define excuse for you. It means to free from an obligation or a duty. My dad, when he was up in his 70s or 80s, he's gone now. He was a World War II veteran. And he got called to jury duty one day. And he went up and told the judge, he said, Judge, I don't mind serving hearing this, but he said, I can't hear a word you're saying. The judge said, you're excused. In other words, he couldn't hear a word he was saying, so he excused him. But another definition for excuse is to justify. And I tell you what, if you've been a pastor, we hear excuses. I mean, I've been saved for 50 years, been pastoring for 40 years, and we've heard them all. I think we've heard them all. And what really gets me is folks think I believe them. Think I believe all the excuses. And not really, but anyhow, look. Turn to Luke 9, if you would. In Luke 9, we'll see some more excuses over there. And I'm sure that, you know, you probably haven't ever given any excuses why you got beat in a contest or something like that. And you want to make the women happy, I'm sure. But and by the way, that contest is always a bad spirit when you have a church contest sometime. But y'all got a good spirit. I think it's a little bit rigged. I know one thing that men can't win. If anything I've learned in 50-plus years of marriage, we're not going to win. And forget about it. And I've learned, choose your battles. Just choose your battles. But look over here, if you would, in Luke. In Luke chapter number 9, let me get there. Luke 9 and verses number 57. Luke 9 and verse number 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Notice verse 15 and verse number 59 and verse number 61. But almost always is followed by an excuse. Preacher, I'd be there, but. Or preacher, I'd do this, but. And it's always followed by an excuse somewhere along the line. I believe this to be true, and I've been around for a while, and Christians in America probably are some of the weakest Christians in the world. And because there's more Christians being martyred today, put to death today around the world than ever in the history of the world. But we haven't been pushed that way in America. We've had it really, relatively, really good. And that doesn't strengthen us. That weakens us. And I think from what I've seen, we have some of the weakest. We're always having these excuses why we cannot do what God says. Luke 14, if you want to turn to Luke 14. And you know the story there where the man made a great supper. And it says in Luke 14 and verse 16, and he made the supper and he went out and bade people to come to the supper. And it said, they all with one consent began to make excuse. One excuse was the possession clause in verse number 18. In other words, this is my only day to mow the yard. So now I bought a lake lot. Now where are you going to go if you buy a lake lot? You're going to go to the lake. And what day can you go to the lake? You can only go on Sunday. Amen. So there's the excuse of possession. There's excuse there of possession. And in other words, I bought some oxen. And the excuse there is, well, preacher, I need some time to play with my toys. I've got a boat, and I've got, you know, a four-wheeler, and I've got, that's the only day I've got to play with my toys. And it's okay to amen now. Don't go quiet on me. This is just a reality check, okay? And so, and one excuse was, is a people excuse. That guy said, I married a wife. Come back tonight, okay? But I married a wife. And here's the excuse there. Preacher, we have company coming over. That, I've had that happen recently. And I tell you what happens starts at the bottom of my feet, starts working its way up. Yeah. Well, we had company come over. So, get up and leave. Yeah. Go to church. Yeah. Who are we supposed to put first? God. Who? God. Ahead of company? Yeah. Ahead of everything, amen. And by that's a poor testimony to say, well, we're staying home because we've got company. Or get them in the car and bring them with you. Or walk off and leave them. I don't know how many years I've had to tell my mother, no, I cannot come to the family reunion. No, I can't come to the family reunion. I'm working. I work 2 days a week. I work on Sunday and I work on a Wednesday. Say, well, that's pretty good benefits. Well, come on. At invitation time, go ahead and line up right here and just join the crowd and do that. But the excuse, the response here to these excuses was the master was angry. And I think God gets angry with our excuses, always excusing ourselves, and we're to put him first. Numero uno. Amen. That's my Spanish. That's it for today. Numero uno. And the response was that he was angry. And in verse 21 and 22, he said, go get some people that'll not making excuses and fill my house. You guys that knock bus routes and knock doors, you know this. It's probably something yesterday. You probably heard excuses why we can't be there. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're just getting an introduction out of the way here. Someone said, poor excuses are but lies in disguise. Lies in disguise. In Romans 1 and verse number 20, it said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. Now look at this. So that they are without what? Folks, we have no excuse. We have no excuses. God said, look up, look around you. There's no excuse for not believing in God. In Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Years ago, when I was in the Navy, we were stationed in Australia, Western Australia. I was lost sailor, and we were there, and at nighttime, I'd get out and I'd look up, and it seemed like you could just reach up right there and touch them, and it's so beautiful. I said, there's got to be a God. There has got to be a God. If there is a creation, there's got to be a creator. Amen. And man is without excuse. 1 John 5, turn there if you have 1 John 5, verse number 3. We're talking about God can take away your excuses. It's a very dangerous thing to offer up excuses when God has called us to do something. Right. And we begin to excuse ourselves. And God says, I can take away that excuse. That's right. I can take your land. I can take away your possessions. I can take your children. And how many people use excuses? Their children, their family. And folks, this is serious business. Because God can take away your excuses, amen? But in 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. That word grievous means painful or hurtful. God's not going to ask us to do something that is painful and hurtful. Now, that may be pain with it and hurt, but God's for us. Whether you believe it or not, God is for us. And here in John 14, I want you to get this verse. John 14, 15, Jesus said this. He said, if ye love me. You know what the rest of that says? What? Keep my commandments. So let's run that backwards. If we don't keep his commandments, then we don't. Come on. All of a sudden, this is what I like. Think. If I don't keep his commandments, then according to the Bible, I don't love him. This is God's word. Old King James. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with it, amen. Amen. So if you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. I want to give you four commandments this morning. Four commandments if you love him. Be turning in your Bibles to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse number 24. But the first commandment, or one of the commandments, of course, the greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength. And the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the first one, we say, I love God, but some of you got some stinky neighbors. Amen. And they irritate you. And what they are, God has put them there for a purpose, as sandpaper, to make you a better Christian. Amen. But anyway, the first commandment I want you to see here on this loving God business is a commandment to gather, or a commandment to assemble. If you look at Hebrews there, Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 24, let me get over Hebrews 10 and verse number 24. But most of you know this, that he tells us there in Hebrews 10 and verse number 24 that we're to forsake not what? The assembling of ourselves together. Look at that. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works. Now look at this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. In other words, folks use excuses all the time to miss church. Now, I'm not against live stream. We have live stream. You have live stream. A lot of people have live stream. We have some folks that cannot get out. I mean, they can't get out. I mean, they're in a wheelchair, and that's good. But we've got some, when they could get to church, they're sitting there in their pajamas. I don't know. It irritates me when people go to Walmart in their pajamas. I guess you ever seen that? I don't know if y'all have it in Oklahoma. But you say, what? Can't people even get dressed to go to Walmart? But I'll guarantee you, folks sitting there and live streaming, they're not sitting there, you know, in their suit and their tie and their Bible and their, you know, they're not doing that. They're sitting there with a cup of coffee and a donut. Amen. And the command to assemble right here, and church should be your excuse for missing everything else. But boy, we got everything today. We got Little League, we got ball team, we got soccer team, we got all these teams and all that. Where's God? Where's God, folks? God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, forsake not. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:1. 2 Thessalonians 2:1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Folks, live stream is no substitute for church. It's just not the same. I mean, when the church gathers together, there's a purpose. You say, well, And we have some, you know, Sunday morning only. Look, we have one service on Sunday. Look, he's saying, you're thinking, aren't you? Just one. Yeah, we just break it up in the middle. We have lunch. And so when people don't come back Sunday night, I say, you've missed church today. You only made half the service. The other half is Sunday night, amen? And there's Wednesday night. And there's Saturday. You have Saturday church around here. Amen. And you have mission conferences, and you told me to say all this. I'm going to get it out. All right. But so what services should we can we come to? And pacify God. Anytime the preacher calls for an assembly. Come on. Anytime. This is not strange stuff. I know y'all heard this up here in Oklahoma. It's not strange stuff. Anytime the preacher said we need to have a church service, might be on Monday night. Amen. They say, well, I'm just tired of, you know, a Sunday morning. So that's enough. You know, Wednesday, you want to do it like they did in the New Testament? You want to do it like they did? They had church every day. Yeah. Every day. And by the way, you read some of Paul's writing. He preached sometime to not only midnight. He preached to the next morning. Folks, we got it pretty good. Amen. We got it pretty good. Amen. But there is a, if you love me, You'll gather and you'll assemble. So you're saying if I'm a member of this church and I'm not here tonight, well, how do you read it? How do you read it? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. then all these things shall be added unto you. I mean, we're to put God before everything. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the commandment was here that we're not forsake the assembling ourselves together. The manner of some is so much more as you see the day approaching. We've heard that little song, excuses, excuses. You'll hear them every day. The devil will supply them if from church you'll stay away. Got saved 50 years ago, and no one's had to beg me to come to church since. Now, before I got saved, I make fun of them church-going people. I look at a bunch of stinking holy rollers. Hey, look at that. They're fanatics. They're all that stuff. Isn't it amazing how God can do? He takes people like that and saves them. And I became one of those holy rollers and going to church all the time. But he said, if you love me, and folks, this is not strange doctrine. This is the Bible, amen? Well, preacher, every Sunday, does God expect every Sunday? Yeah. Every Sunday, amen? Well, what if you're not feeling good? Drag in. Amen? Drag in. Well, I'm tired. Well, just be tired in church. Amen? Again, we got company coming. That's excuses. Well, I just got up late. By the way, Bob Smith used that the other day. I told you about that. Y'all know Bob Smith, don't you? He's my lookalike, but I don't give away bad dogs to people like he does. I wouldn't dare do that to the preacher, give him a bad. I've got one I will give him. He don't tear things up. He just yaps all the time. Oh, by the way, I did see something. Brother Larson took me. I thought I'd seen it all. But we went by here in Oklahoma City downtown, a dog park. Have y'all been down there? And my wife, she said, stop, let me watch this. Look at all them dogs. Look, they're all, I don't know whether they're homosexual dogs or whatever kind of dogs they are. But there wasn't a one of them fighting. Man, if we put dogs in Texas together, we're going to have a fight. A dog park. Come on, for kids' parks, old people park, but not a dog park. Come on, y'all are still in the South. That is so ridiculous, amen. Did you ever notice in the Old Testament where the tabernacle was? It's in the middle. Everybody over here, by that standard, they were camped. And they came out of their tent every morning, they faced the tabernacle. They're everybody centered around their life, centered around the church. Amen. It ought to be that way. But the world's given us so many things. By the way, we're teaching our kids by our example. Well, we put first. And Brother Way, his boys wanted to play baseball. Richard wanted to play baseball. But he said, we're going to Saturday morning visitation first. We're going to, and what you can go play, but as soon as it comes time for that, we're leaving. And we're going to church, take care of church responsibilities. Hey, that's the way you teach your kids. Not tell them, but teach them. But this commandment together to assemble, and it amazes me that we don't use the same excuses when we go to Walmart. Amen. Or when we go to Dollar General or where we go to Goodwill. I just had to throw that in there. But we have time to go to the beach. We have time to go hunting. We have time to go fishing. We have time to go to the restaurant and ball games. But church, folks, there's a reason God gave us a church. Amen. And the warnings from God's word in Luke 14, verse 24, about those who made excuses, said, none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And you go and read that in back in verse number 26, so far, if we sin willfully. So what was he talking about, sin willfully? What's it talking about the verses before that? It's talking about forsaking the assembly. And it says, if we sin willfully, in other words, I'm just not going. Amen? And that's a sin to God, amen? We have our secretary, and I guess our daughter and everything like that, she is to us. Her grandmother made this statement years ago. A faith that won't get you to church won't get you to heaven. And as a godly woman, a faith that won't get you to church won't get you to heaven. Amen. Y'all remember to move off that point? I got some better ones. Amen. I told you I started out with mean, meaner, and meanest. So we might go to the middle one right here on this. But what is a second command that I want to talk about this morning? There was a command to gather, but there's also a command to give. looked, and you almost got off on that thing. He's fixing to preach my sermon. But anyway, turn to Malachi. You know, when I say Malachi 3, our people just go, we know where you're going, preacher. You're after the money. Hey, folks, let me tell you, God owns it all. God owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns the wealth in every mine. Everything you've got and I've got, it's just loaned to us. It's He that giveth thee power to become rich. I mean, God owns it all. And folks, giving is not a money matter. That is not a money matter. That is a heart matter. And if God has your heart, He's got everything else. Amen. But in Luke, while you're holding there in Malachi 3, let me just read this. Luke 6:38 says, give. And the you, for you English, as I understand, you give, and shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Then you mentioned about next week, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all thine increase. Folks, you can't outgive God. There's a church up in South Dakota, Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, just built a $5.5 million facility. Right after they got it built, the church split. And that the devil. But there was a lost businessman in town. Came to the preacher and said, I've been watching your church. I've been watching how you've reacted. And I just want to do something for this church. A lost businessman pulled out his checkbook and wrote a check for $2.5 million. Folks, that's God. God does it. When you're faithful and honest with God, I mean, the tithe. Let's go to Matthew. It should be Malachi 3:8 there. And he starts out saying, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? We are more scared of the IRS than we are of God. Man, I don't want the IRS coming after me. But you don't mind God coming after you? Amen. I think we ought to be. I mean, Miss Dotson, she is petrified. I don't know where she got this being petrified of tithing. And she writes out her tithe. She gets the money here and she put this envelope. And by the end of the week, she's like, where are all those envelopes? And she'll have her secretary go back sometime and check. Did I tithe off that? I just wish she'd turn them in when she gets it. Amen. But anyhow, I wish everybody was that, you know, petrified to doing that. But the command to give, look at, will a man rob God? Yet you what rob me? Wherein have ye robbed thee? In what? Tithe. Someone explain something to me. Y'all say that word tithe? Is that singular or plural? Oh, ouch. You know, the first fruit of all your increase. And I tell our folks, I said, if you have to come to me and ask me, should I tithe off this? You're already under conviction. And by the way, if you over tithe, you think God will get mad if you over tithe, amen? No. I mean, really, it's a heart matter. But here's where we miss it. And I have folks like this. They will put the tithe in. That's it. But what's the next two words? And offerings. Folks, and what did God say? He said, I will bless you. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And we've been under that spout for 50 years. And Miss Dotson won't let go of some of them blessings. So why do women have to have that many clothes and have to have a pair of shoes to match every dress? Y'all ever figure that out, men? Did you ever notice this, that women don't throw away their clothes because they have this dream that one day that maybe they'll get back to that size again? And I'm going to tell you something. You just stay where you're. We're visitors. That's probably never going to happen. That may be a Katie Joe statement, but anyway, I said it. Amen. But I mean, we sat down really whenever we got saved, and she was still in high school, and I was working for the VA hospital, and we came across the Sunday school room, and it said the tithe is the Lord's. Leviticus. And the Holy Spirit smote me, said the tithe. Now, I was a liberal Methodist boy. You know, we didn't tithe. Didn't know what tithe was. They gave pledges. If you didn't give it, they'd come after you and things like that. But we sat down and we said, okay, here's what we've got coming in. And it wasn't a whole lot. Here's what we got going out. And I said, it won't work. We can't do this. But here's what was said. We're going to do it. And here's how it works. We're going to do it the first thing. The first thing of every week, the check is the tithe. The offering starts small, and then now they've exceeded the tithe after all these years. And all I can tell you is it works. First of all, I had the Bible to go by. That's the best. But now I have 50 years of experience, and never in 50 years. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God, because God said, if you'll do it, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Amen. And boy, we've got more stuff than we've ever had in our life. Amen. Just things like that stuff. And I don't know who's going to clean our house out after we're gone, but they're going to have a job to do. And I told Miss Dodd, I said, I don't want to move. It's not anything spiritual about it. I just don't want to move. 3 18-wheelers would start. Amen. She's over there racking up. She's doing this because she don't get mad anymore when I talk about stuff like that. She just says, money, money. You make these boo-boos, it's going to cost you. But the tithe, amen, and the command not only is here, is to give, amen. I'll open up the preacher. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. Because that is disobedience. Amen. It's not about you. It's about God. Amen. And as you said this morning, God doesn't need our money. We need to give. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm on a fixed income. Well, la-di-da. I've had my older folks say that. Social Security, fixed income. Yeah, but who fixes the income? God can always drop extra in there. You reach over and talk about Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, and she had just a little bit of nothing, but he said, give it to me. And you know the story, she did, and God multiplied that and multiplied that and multiplied that. Yeah. Amen. Folks, our church has learned to give. I wish I had time to explain to you how good God has been to us. One recall, we've taken care of the missionary. I mean, it is, and we're not a big church. In a town of 5,000, it has exploded off the scene. I can't explain it, but God. They're saying God did that. And because why? Because we were faithful to do what God said to do, amen, in tithes and in offerings. Let me just say this. You say, well, I can't do it. Well, God can take away your excuse. Had a man one time said, preacher, I make too much money to tithe. So that's no problem. Let's just ask God to bring your income down to where your tithe is.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Folks, look at the deal here. I get 90% and he gets 10%. That ain't a bad deal. But, you know, I'm going to do it because I'm a Christian. Not because I have to. But, I mean, how do you think you pay for the lights? The preacher come over here with a wand. And the wand just raises a wand. And the heat and cooling comes on and the bills all get paid. No, God used his people, amen. And God has so blessed us now. We're 3 years ahead in our building payment, hoping to get paid off. I'm asking God this year, on August the 20th, for our 75th anniversary, to give us $171,000. And our people just look at me like, preacher, you lost your mind? $171,000? I mean, we don't got that kind of people, amen. They just, but 171,000, nobody can write a check and drop that in. But say $171,000 would pay us out of debt. And we're 3 years ahead right now because of God's blessing, because we have honored his word in giving. Amen. And God will do that for everybody. Amen. You just get, they tell me that even lost people, if they will take on the principles of what's taught right here, they can be blessed. Lost people. Amen. So Jesus said this, if you love me, come on, keep my commandments. So there's a commandment to gather. If we don't gather, then what's it saying? I mean, the only way I'd figure this out, I don't think there's any special interpretation there. If we love him, we'll do it. If we don't love him, we won't do it. Amen? And the commandment to give. If we love him, no problem. If we don't love him, we won't do it. It gets real quiet when we talk about money anywhere. Because that's my money. No. Who gives you the breath you breathe? I mean, who gives that power to make money? It's God. Amen. And we need to be rich toward God, amen, and that command to give. Remember, God can take away your excuse. There's a couple you may be reminded of in the Bible in Acts chapter number 5. They were church members. They had some land, and they made a commitment. We're going to sell our land, and we're going to give da-da-da-da to the church. But probably like a lot of folks, they probably got a pretty good deal on that. Their name was Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody remember them? And Ananias and Sapphira, and they conspired together. And I'm thinking something like this might have conspired. Say, you know, we made a lot more money than what we thought. We were going to give this percentage, but you know, that's too much money because that church doesn't need all that money. And by the way, if they give that money to the church, they'll just spend it. I said, that's what I do. You send it, I'll spend it. But anyway, and so they conspired together. And so Ananias comes to church, walks in, church is in session. And the preacher, how the preacher knew this, I don't know. But Peter said, why hast thou lied to the Holy Spirit of God? And I can imagine the shock come off his face like red. How did the preacher know that? You'd be surprised what preachers know. And God puts little birdies around to fly around, some whispering and everything like that. You know, the only part I'm not going to talk about here, but I don't know why she was 3 hours after him. That's why we have different vehicles. 3 hours later, why God, the Holy Spirit of God, put 3 hours in there, I don't know. He could have brought them at the same time and killed them both at the same time. But 3 hours later, here she comes. Sapphira, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit of God? And she dropped dead. See, God can take away your excuses. I'm going to give, but you didn't. God can tell you, and you give the excuse, we can't afford to. You can't afford not to. And for I'm not ready to be mean spirit. And this is what I preach to our people. I just want us to think. I want God to bless you. And I know God will bless obedience. And we say, well, I can't. It may be that you may not have the finest car. It may be you have to drive a Ford. I drive a Dodge myself. Anyway, a church gave us a brand new Dodge 1 year. A guy said, are you a Dodge man? I said, I am now. Amen. And, I am now. But anyway, I want God to bless you. Amen. And I want you to get all that you got. But you got to do what God says to do. Amen. Obey God. Amen. And I mean, God can take away those excuses. The excuse you use not to attend church. It might be, if I understand this, I understand people who can't, who literally cannot in their, but when you just use the excuse, God can take away the excuse. God can take children. God can take a spouse. I went through this just my son just recently, and he's out of church, been out of church for almost a year, and you know, he wants to use all the kind of excuses, and I prayed one night on Saturday night. I said, God, he needs your attention. He needs something to get his attention. And I'm not super spiritual, but his wife died during the night. She's 40 years old. I thought, whoa. I mean, she was kind of an excuse that he had used why she couldn't go to church. She couldn't go to church. I'm telling you, God can take away your excuse. I mean, what a find a way. Amen. And thank God Livestream can help some of our shut-ins that are shut-ins, really shut-ins. But God can take away your excuses, the command to gather, the command to give. And look at Matthew 28:18, the command to go. The Great Commission was given 2,000 years ago to the church to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That was not given just to a missionary. That was not given just to the preacher. It was given to the church. Mark 16:18, he says there, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Well, preacher, I don't have time. By the way, God doesn't call everybody to a foreign mission field. In Acts chapter 13, he called out a couple, but he called the rest of them to stay. And we are just as responsible for here as they are there. Oh, A.J., my little missionary buddy here. I done met him, A.J. Aired 9, amen. Told me he's going to be a missionary. I said, where are you going to be a missionary to? He said, to the uttermost. I said, oh, man, you're going to be a missionary to the cows? He said, uttermost. Some of y'all get that later. But I tell you what, that little kid's got it in his heart. He's going to be a missionary. Don't you ever talk him out of it. He's going to be a missionary. We need some missionaries that'll go, amen. This young lady, I don't know who she is, but her testimony. And all I kind of thought about you when I read this not too long ago, that she said after she graduated from Temple Baptist Christian School, she earned a bachelor's degree at a university. She served the Lord in her highly active church. She taught in the Christian school for 23 years. And why did she not stay where she was comfortable and safe? She was drawn to Zambia because she saw a great need there of 13,800,000 people in this southern African country. Half are under the age of 15. Cindy saw wide open doors and opportunities. A church planting missionary family needed her experience and expertise. Cindy was willing to serve outside of her comfort zone. Instead of asking, "Why should I go?" she asked, "Why should I stay?" And I think the church ought to ask ourselves that question. Every time you ought to hear a missionary, you ought to say, "Lord, I'm willing." God said, "Who'll go?" Isaiah or AJ jumped up. And just AJ jumping up. "Hey, I'll go. See, where is God going to get his missionaries? Not the mooses or the gooses or the lions or the peacocks or any of that. They're going to come out of the local New Testament Baptist churches, amen, that go. And we're losing ground. We're losing ground. I forgot what it was, 71,000 or something. Folks, there are over 8 billion people in the world today. We are gaining at 385,000 per day in the world. And I'll guarantee you we're not seeing that many missionaries. But most are coming home to serve in a comfortable situation. I said, if I had it to do all over again, I would beg God, "God, let me go." We've been on 30 missionary fields and trips. And I said, "God, I mean, that's where it's happening. Whether it's the Philippines or where it is. I mean, it's happening there. And great things are happening. But we need some folks who are willing. And the command is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "Well, preacher, Saturday's my only day to la da 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 da." Folks, we're going to have all eternity. Now, I don't know if God has a golf course in heaven or what. But, you know, and I understand there's got to be a balance. And we do this. I don't know if y'all do this. But every one Saturday, maybe a month, I just say, "Look, visit your bus routes when you want to visit them. But you can correlate. You can have a family day and do all that. Amen. And work however you want to do that." There's got to be a balance to that. Amen. I know of an evangelist right now. He's a good guy, and you know him very well, that his wife told him years ago, said, you and the preacher can have it. I'm gone." She walked off and left him. Sometimes because we don't use a balance. It is important that we go. But also we need to be very careful also in situations and where we take the family along with us. Amen. But, you know, God can take away our excuses. He can, and that's what we need to be very, very careful of. Let me give you the last excuse or the command, and that's the command to get saved. God is not willing that any should perish. I'm glad that 50 years ago, and by the way, 86% of the people who come to church because some relative invited them. Because they know somebody. My grandmother invited me. It was in April, 50 years ago. This is the 50th anniversary. 50 years ago, she invited us to church. Of course, we'd been partying Saturday night, but we said, "Yeah, we'll go." Well, we went to church. Guess what happened back then, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist churches, when you go to church? If they're the right kind of church, guess what? On Thursday night, somebody's knocking on my door. I went out the back door. I didn't want to see a preacher. Matter of fact, I don't want to see too many of them now. But anyway, next Thursday, I went and locked myself in the bathroom for an hour. He said I was probably the cleanest sinner in Bonham, Texas. Next Thursday, bird-dogging me, I was asleep on the couch and she let him in. So whatever she told y'all yesterday, it's all on her. She let him in. He told me how to get saved. I got saved. He left. I was a new creature. Not a new preacher, a new creature. Amen? And that's when she thought, "Man, my life is ruined and it's over with. I didn't marry a preacher." But again, I said, "Yeah, but you needed one." Amen? And your niece went too, by the way. But if you're here and you're not saved, man, a lot of it's not going to ruin your life. And I was glad, you know, the preacher, he said, "Well, you know what it says about sin? Here's a liberal Methodist. ex-Navy guy, he said, you know what it said about sin? I quoted him. He said, yeah, all have sinned. Being in the Navy, you know you're a sinner, right? But I said, all have sinned. And he took the Romans road. He went down to and showed me. The Bible says I'm a sinner. And he told me in the Bible how to be saved. I don't remember what all happened. I don't remember what I prayed, but I know I went down a lost sinner and I came up a saved sinner. When I came up, I was different. First thing I did whenever he walked out the door, that the Holy Spirit of God said, get rid of the alcohol. Amen. Get rid of your country western music. That's probably something Oklahoma not say, huh? Tammy Wynette, George Jones, and Merle Harger. And you know, I was saying things like that, and our kids are in the back of our church going, who? I even used the word one time, Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon, one of the kids in the back of who? Who is Matt Dillon? Amen. But they found out, they Googled, you don't know who Matt Dillon is. Look at my God-given eyeball and tell me, you don't know who Matt Dillon is? Have you ever watched Gunsmoke? Okay. Katie Jo, I'm sorry. I didn't know it came out the church. You really don't know. You weren't the whole message. But really, honestly, listen. We're going to break down here. The greatest thing I ever had in my life was getting saved. She thought it ruined everything. But by me getting saved, it saved everything. It actually saved our marriage. Because it's our marriage is a miracle. It should have never happened. Because God, she was 26 years after I got saved, she got saved. She said, she must have been pretty bad. No, she was trying, you know, she was thought so. She made a profession of faith. Evan News led her to the Lord, supposedly. Amen. And then, you know, after a period of time, and she never left. You know what? The devil wanted to use her to stop me. But because she stayed, God got her. And by the way, that's what God will do. He'll tear the devil's game plan up. Amen. She's a pastor's wife for 16 years. Lost. One time, at the same time she got saved, October the 6th, 1999, where there's about 25 of our church members, organ player, piano player, Christian school, kids, I mean, 25 or 26 faithful church members got saved. Somebody said, well, who is preaching? I said, I hope the Holy Spirit of God was. Because that's why you have to keep on preaching. Because the Holy Spirit may not today, but if you keep on being faithful, there's times like you, just like the Spirit of God's here. And there's people here and they need to get saved. We got to keep on preaching, amen. But 25 church members got saved. See, church membership doesn't guarantee you salvation. And I believe this, more people are going to hell from our Baptist church pews than any other thing in the world. It's the hardest people to preach to are church members who are lost. Judas. Remember when they said, one of you is going to betray me? They all said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? They all looked. They was with him 3.5 years. They all had the same King James Bible, didn't they, Brandon? They were all there with the master. But one of them was lost. He's still lost too. By the way, he betrayed Jesus. But you know, I didn't realize salvation was that. So I thought, you know, you just got to keep on being good. And here's the thing that's a kicker. My dad, who's a Methodist, his uncle was a Baptist. They were talking about their mother, who was a good person. And my dad, who was the Methodist, told my preacher uncle, he said this. He said, if grandma ain't saved, mama ain't saved, we sure ain't saved. And you hear that around Texas all the time, about there's looking at somebody else, and because they're such a good person, if they're not saved, then we don't have a chance because they live better than we have. Living a good life is good, but it's not for salvation. You live a good life because you are saved, not to get saved. It's all by the grace of God, amen. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. What we've got a lot of people who have believed on him and not in him. They've got Christ on them, which is religion. But him in here is the righteousness of God. And he's the one on the inside that will change you, amen. You don't have to change yourself. He'll change you. And I wasn't changing me. God was changing me. I was just saying yes. God, whatever you want, amen. But all the excuses we have, got plenty of time. No, you don't. You go out these doors right here. Before you hit your car, you may drop dead. We have no guarantee. I mean, you notice how many young people are dying today? Sudden deaths and just dying. Well, I'm not that bad. Let me tell you something. Yes, you are. And I'm that bad too. We're depraved. We're wicked. We're sinners. We deserve hell. But God, who is rich in mercy. Why do you think he came? If we could live a good life, why did God put his son to the shame? Because we can't save ourselves. But he can save us. Amen. God can take away your excuses. I'm a good person. I'm just not ready yet. Folks, today is a day of salvation. We have no promise of tomorrow. I cannot tell you, I cannot guarantee you. None of us can guarantee tomorrow. We can't guarantee this afternoon. But I can guarantee you right now, if you're lost, he'll save you. Amen. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, preacher, I've been baptized. That's a good thing, but you're baptized because you're saved, not to be saved. Well, I'm a church member. Well, you become a church member because you are saved. You must be born again. And you must be born again. Just as much as you were born physically. I was born June 21st, 1949. I've lived in 9 decades. I tell kids that. They go, "Ooh, how old are you really?" 9 decades. Amen. Born in Allen Memorial Hospital in Bonham, Texas, June 21st, 1949. Physical. But he said you must be born again. So what are you talking about? You can't go back in your mother's womb. It's a spiritual birthday. Yes. April 1973, 1209 Lynn Street in Bonham, Texas, on a weekday afternoon, is when Avenue, for the third time, knocked on my door and showed me in the Word of God how to be saved. And I trusted the Word of God, not Evan. I trusted the Word of God. And I got saved. And by the way, I'm still saved. Regardless of what some people think, I am still saved. The moment you get saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes. Sealed. Yep. You can't lose it because you don't keep it. Yep. He's the one that keeps you saved. He's the one that cleans you up. And by the way, one evidence, if you're truly saved, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word creature means creation. Only God can create new life. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. The beer joints, the beer, the whiskey, the honky-tonks, all that passed away. Country, Western music, all passed away. Old friends passed away. And all things become new. I put down the bottle and picked up the Bible. Amen. Left the beer joint, went to church. Amen. Why? Not because I'm anything special. But he moved in. Amen. When he moved in, the old man had to move out. Yes. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, this morning, he can take away your excuses. Well, I would get saved, but my wife. Hey, if I'd have waited on my wife, it'd been a long time. Amen. But God got her. Excuses. There is no excuse for not being saved if you're not saved now. And by the way, it'll change your whole outlook and whole atmosphere about what you think about church. What you think about a preacher, what you think about that Bible, what you think about giving. It was no problem when I got saved and God told me what he wanted me to do to say, yes, sir. Paul said this, Lord. First thing he said when he got saved, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And if we're hearers only and not doers, James says we're deceiving ourselves. If we're only hearers and not doers, because God saved us to do. How about that? Let's all heads bowed. Let's stand there. If your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Remember, God can take away your excuses. I think about the man in Luke 14 who said, I married a wife. And he actually threw his wife under the bus. He was using his wife for an excuse for him not coming. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God to take my wife away. I don't. I don't want God. I fear right now for my son. and his son, who he's been running. And I'm not God, so I'm not standing to tell you God did it for that reason, but it's pretty obvious. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that's a sign, baby, being saved, that there is chastisement. It's apparent, that's been since January, and it seemed like it's getting worse. I'm thinking, God, I don't want you to take my grandchild. I don't want you to take my son. I mean, one time he led singing, preached some, taught Sunday school, but he's on the run. And I know this, and I fear God. He could reach down and take that child, that son, that little child that you're using for an excuse why you can't come, or they can't sit, whatever. God can take away the excuses. Preacher, you come, give the invitation. What's your excuse today?
As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm asked the piano to play.